The saddle pilgrims on the way of life, stick on to Jesus and do not look back. The enemy of man is not relenting. He wants to kill and he wants to destroy. Satan wants to kill, he wants to destroy. Whatever comes to you, look to God for help. No mother cares for our child like him. He will always give to you his grace apart. With him on your side, you will never fail. With God on your side, you will never fail. Take the Holy Bible and read every day. In prayer, commune with God all the time. Be fellowshipping with other believers. With all men you meet, talk about Jesus. Obey God's command and resist Satan. It's our privilege, it's about to end. Never deal as men. They are still falling. Many that have lost are becoming the last. The people will some be with Lord Jesus. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Heaven is too much a great to miss. Whatever it takes, do not fear to give, and you will be so glad you made it at last. You will be so glad you made heaven at last. Oh, since we rejoice when we sing. Stanza 5. Heaven is too much a great thing to miss. Whatever it takes, do not fail to me. And you will be so glad you made it at last. You will be so glad you made heaven at last. All things we rejoice when we sing the Lord. Amen.
God is great.
My God is great. Let's stand up to pray. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the mighty God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord tomorrow, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the troubles of today will then be over. God will wipe all the tears from our eyes. We are here today. We began tomorrow, and this life we live on be a memory. We are here today. We began tomorrow, when we praise the Lord to all eternity. Today we are getting ready for the final journey. Now we're making plans to live in a new home. Soon the starry sky will prove the glance of glory, and the sounding of the trumpet will be done. We are here today. We began tomorrow, and this life we live on be a memory. We are here today. We began tomorrow, when we praise the Lord to all eternity.
Author of life, our Lord, our Savior, we give you honor today. We magnify your holy name. We bless you, we praise you, because you are worthy. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be honored. We thank you for the way you are dealing with us. Thank you for the way you are ministering to us. Thank you, Lord, for the way you are blessing us. Thank you for the way you are showing us your mind, showing us the path of life. Thank you for all the revelations we receive from you all the time. Glory be to your name in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We are before you to study today. You are the one who commands us to study your word. Oh Lord, be pleased to teach us.
Amen.
Make your mind known unto us.
Amen.
Make your will known unto us.
Amen.
What we will know and our lives will take the right shape. That we will have good relationship with you. That will prepare for good life and eternity of goodness. Oh Lord, make known unto us.
Amen.
May we not hear your word in vain.
Amen.
Cause your will to be done in us.
Amen.
Father, we pray that whatever the devil, one way or the other, through his craftiness, might have planted in our hearts, contrary to your will, contrary to the truth, things that will not benefit our lives, use your word today to wash them away from our hearts.
Amen.
May they never return to our hearts.
Amen.
The truth you want us to receive today, oh Lord, plant it in our hearts.
Amen.
That all the remaining days of our lives, we will remember them.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Another amen.
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 God is great. We started to study about death, burial, resurrection, the intermediate state, and other related issues. 2 weeks ago, am I correct? How many weeks have we studied? 2 weeks. We started after the introduction of the series of studies to look at the meaning of death. And we said, death is not cessation of being, but separation. We said that three things will end the sojourning of each man in the world. Death, or rather various people in the world. Death, rapture, judgment. Either of these three will end one's sojourning in the world. We look at some of the erroneous doctrines, or rather ideas, that people are having through the help of Satan concerning death. And last week, we look at some important facts about death. Under that, we saw that death was not part of the original plan of God for man, that death is universal, that death is not beyond the control of God, that death is the end of human activities in the world, that the dead has no right of any earthly possession, that the greatness or smallness of anyone does not continue with him after death, that death is not the end of man, and that death will not kill forever. We wanted to look at the sayings, the deathbed sayings of the dying. We could not do too much about that. I'm not starting with that today. I'm moving to the next topic. If Jesus tarries, we'll still look at that. If I'm able to come back, I'll take as many of them as I can take under this study. If I cannot come back to you, maybe next week, whenever I have time, we'll still do it before we end the teaching. That is what people said at their death bed. Both good people and bad people, and what we can learn from such sayings. Today, the topic before us is the types of death. Everybody say it. The types of death. Say it. There are many types of death. Each of them is a form of separation. This study will help us to have a good understanding of each of them. Don't forget, as we have been studying, I kept on saying that study about death is not a bad thing. That one studies about death does not mean he's going to die immediately after. And that one refuses to study about death does not mean he's going to live long. In fact, the Bible says if we are wise, we'll think about our end. And therefore, as death is one of the things that will end the sojourning of men in the world, we need to think about it. We also need to think about the two other things that will end the sojourning of people in the world: the rapture and the judgment of the living nations. Hallelujah. The physical death is the only thing most men know to be death. And yet, the Word of God talks about more than one type of death. Apart from some other things the Word of God, or rather, apart from some other things, the word death is used to describe. The Bible talks about four major types of death. Death is still used to describe some other things that I don't want to go into. But there are four major types of death the Bible talks about. How many? I can't hear you. One, spiritual death. Say after me. Number two, death to sin. Number three, physical death. And lastly, eternal death. Say it. Spiritual death. The first occurrence of the word death and its variables in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, which says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's the first time we hear anything about death. In this scripture, Genesis 2:17, there are two phrases I would like to draw our attention to, and they will help us to understand the spiritual death. The first phrase is "in the day." The second phrase is "surely die." Let's take them one by one. The way I want to do it, I will take the last one first. Which one is the last one? "Surely die." The word "surely," according to English dictionaries, means without fail. That is, whatever happens, so it will be. That's what the word "surely" signifies. The phrase "surely die" in the context of Genesis 2:17, therefore, means that nothing will change it. Once he had a reason to eat of the forbidden fruit, he would definitely die. Is that clear? That's what the word "surely die," the phrase "surely die," signifies. That is, there is nothing that will change it. You don't want to die, don't eat the forbidden fruit. You eat the forbidden fruit, you will die. Meaning, if after eating the forbidden fruit, you regret eating it, it won't change anything. If after eating the forbidden fruit, you beg for forgiveness, it won't change anything. If after eating the forbidden fruit, you decide to vomit it, it will not change anything. You will definitely die. Now, the second phrase that will help us here is the phrase "in the day." It makes us to understand that the judgment will not be delayed to a future date. It will not be delayed to another time. It will happen the same day. I don't know if you understand what we are saying. Are you with me? Go back to that scripture. Genesis 2:17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." When will he die? I can't hear you. That same day, he will surely die. It's not going to be a suspended sentence in any way. The same day that instruction is disobeyed, the same day that word of God is violated, the judgment has been passed already, and the execution will not be delayed. Do you understand that? If we join these two phrases together, we'll see that Adam and Eve actually died the same 24-hour day that they fell into sin. Did you understand that? This annotated reference Bible says, Adam died the same day he sinned. So this should be understood as a 24-hour day. The penalty of eternal death took effect immediately. Romans 5:12-21, end of quote. Though they died immediately, what is very clear from the Bible is that none of them fell down and gave up the ghost after eating the forbidden fruit. None of them stopped to exist. Here is what the Bible says about how they ate the fruit and what followed. Genesis 3 from verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes, when they finished eating, these are the things that began to happen. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. One may read the whole chapter if you want to get the whole picture. But this is a popular story that we all know. The truth is that they died spiritually and not physically when they ate the fruit. They still did so many other things physically after that their death. I'm trying to let you see that the Bible talks about different types of death. We are looking at four of them. The first one is the spiritual death. And I'm showing you here that all the deaths started when man ate the forbidden fruit. But we didn't see the manifestation of all of them at once. The first one that manifested was the spiritual death. Though they died spiritually, they were still able to do many things, such as they were still conscious of their nakedness. Adam told God in verse 7 that he was naked. They were able to manufacture dresses for themselves. They took fig leaves and tried to do something to cover themselves. They were able to communicate with God. Adam, where thou? He was able to respond. He heard God and he spoke to God, though he was dead spiritually. They were able to wear the physical dress God made for them. They were able to give birth to children. Hallelujah. Adam remained physically alive in the world until he was 930 years and then died physically. When did God say they would die? If they had eaten the forbidden fruit, when? The same day, they will surely die. But Adam did not die until he was 930 years. We are not told what the age of Adam was at the time he ate the forbidden fruit. But if you look at the story in Genesis, it seems it wasn't long after the wife was made for him, before they ate the forbidden fruit. We are not told how long he had lived alone in the garden before God made a wife for him. But from the look of things, it wasn't long. Meaning then that the bulk of his 930 years, he actually spent it as somebody who was spiritually dead. So what is very clear from all of this is that death is not a cessation of being. It is only a separation. I'm going to read something a little lengthy from Adam Clark's commentary on Genesis 2:17. Thou shalt not only die spiritually by losing the life of God, but from that moment, thou shalt become mortal and shall continue in a dying state till thou die. This we find literally accomplished. Every moment of man's life may be considered as an act of dying till the soul and body are separated. Other meanings have been given of this passage. or they are in general either fanciful or incorrect. Okay, the lengthy one, I'm sorry, is that of Nelson Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Let me read. Death. A term which we apply to the lower orders of living things, such as plants and animals, means the end of life. With reference to human beings, however, death is not the end of life. The Bible teaches that man is more than a physical creation. He is also a spiritual being. For man, therefore, physical death does not mean the end of existence, but the end of life as we know it, and the transition to another dimension in which our conscious existence continues. The Bible speaks of death in a threefold way: physical, spiritual, eternal. The first physical death of a human being recorded in the Bible is that of Abel, who was murdered by his brother Cain, Genesis 4:8. However, death itself in both the physical and spiritual sense is first mentioned by God himself, Genesis 2:17. In the Genesis account of the fall, both physical and spiritual death come as a result of sin. Various attitudes towards death are expressed in the Bible, from dread to anticipation. The ancient Hebrews regarded death as entrance into Sheol, where they were cut off from everything there in life, including God and loved ones. But God revealed to the psalmist that the Redeemer God is both in heaven and in Sheol, Psalm 139, 7 and 8. He is able to bring his soul, a person, out of Sheol, 1 Samuel 2 says, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, all men are spiritually dead, separated from God, who is the source of spiritual life. Sin makes a person hate the light and despise the truth. It causes one to break God's laws and to become insensitive to holy things. Everyone who has not been redeemed by Christ is spiritually dead. Some passages are supplied. The Bible also speaks of the second death, Revelation 2:11, which is eternal death, the everlasting separation of the lost from God in hell. The second death is equated with the lake of fire, Revelation 20:14. The lake which burns with fire and brimstone is the second death, Revelation 21:8. The Apostle Paul speaks of death as an enemy. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians 15:26. In his resurrection, Jesus conquered death, physical, spiritual, and eternal. Through fear of death, men are subject to bondage, Hebrews 2:15. But our Savior Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. End of quote. The next scripture makes it clear that every descendant of Adam is already having part in a spiritual death. Wherefore, whether he is physically alive in the world or not. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is not only physical death, but it also includes the spiritual and the eternal death. Spiritual death is the foundation for all other death. Because Adam and Eve died spiritually when they ate the forbidden fruit, they could no longer have the kind of fellowship they were having with God before. In fact, they could not see his face again. They were only hearing his voice. Before Adam sinned, he could see God. He could fellowship with God. He could relate with God. In fact, the Bible says God was coming to visit Adam at the cool of the day. But after he ate the forbidden fruit, he only had the voice of God. He could not see God again. That was part of the effect of his spiritual death. Genesis 3 from verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Abraham and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." They became spiritually blind. They could not see God. Surely many other things we are not specifically told happened to them. It is the blindness that started that day that the Bible talks about in Acts 20:32, 2 Corinthians 4:4, 6:14, Ephesians 1:11 and 18, 4:18, 5:8, Colossians 1:12-13, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, and 1 Peter 2:9-25. The following is taken from my book titled Entire Sanctification, page 56. Man was originally created holy and in the image of God, Genesis 1:27-31. But when he fell into sin, the whole thing changed. He became dirty, sinful, and hopeless. His understanding became darkened. Ephesians 4:18, 1 Corinthians 2:14. His heart became deceitful and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. His mind and conscience became defiled. Titus 1:15. And his will was enslaved. Romans 7:18. When he was to give birth to children, he gave birth to them in his own image, that is, in the image of the fallen man. Genesis 5:3. This made all the evils that came into the life of Adam because of his sin pass to all his children immediately they were born into the world. Romans 5:12. You know what? Their body became subject to sickness, disease, decay, etc. The following scriptures contain the description of the corruption that became the portion of their body since then. What have I been explaining? The Bible talks about different types of death. Prominent among them are the four we are discussing, which includes spiritual death, physical death, death to sin, and eternal death. So far, we have discussed the spiritual death, and we are not even true yet. Because man became dead spiritually, immediately after eating the forbidden fruit, his body became subject to sickness, disease, decay. Man actually begins to die from the day he is born. I heard that from somebody I can't remember. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1 says, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a scripture, verse 7, that highlights the mortality of the body of man and its effect. It says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Why the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened." Take note of the word or. Meaning that this one is like the sun, is like the light, is like the moon, is like the stars. Whatever happened, it will be darkened by and by. "Nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few." Take note of the word few, grinder, few. That suggests that they were more than that before. They were reduced and they became few. "And those that look out of the windows be darkened." Some star again. and the door shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bed, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Almond tree is talking about gray hair. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the sire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourner go about the street. Or ever the silver cord is broken, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This scripture highlights the process of dying. Talks about the fact that man dies gradually, physically. Yes, in this world of today, there are a lot of people that bring sudden death, such as suicide, such as accident, such as murder, such as natural disasters, such as earthquake, landslide, mudslide, and so on and so forth. But normally, even if there is no murderer, no assassin, even if there is no natural disaster, and nobody has a reason to commit suicide, no man will live in the world forever. Because the body of man starts to die gradually from the day he is born. And one day, it will get to a point that the system of the body will not be able to function properly any longer. And automatically, the fellow will have to do what? Everybody die. If you pay serious attention to this scripture, the Ecclesiastes that we have read, you will see that it talks about so many problems of the body of man. What we are saying is that none of these problems is part of the original plan of God for man. They all came as a result of the fact that the body of man began to die when he ate the forbidden fruit. The following are some of the body problems highlighted in the scripture. In that scripture, number one is aging. Remember God in the days of your youth. The word youth there suggests that a day is coming that you start to be youth. At the time you are a child, later you are a youth. You later become an adult. By and by, you become an aged person. As you move from one state to the other, you are actually in the process of dying. That's verse 1. Number 2 talks about all kinds of bodily problems. And this is represented in the phrase, the evil day. When the evil days has not come. You know what that means? Evil days are going to come to every man. Evil in what sense? Evil in the sense that one is not as alive as he used to be. One is not as healthy as he used to be. One is not as agile as he used to be. Then it also talks about general displeasure and uncomfortableness that increases as the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I've had many aged people saying, I ask death to come. It refused to come. The meaning is that I'm fed up of this, my body. It's caging me. I want to be delivered from it. Though some people don't know what will happen to them after they are dead, but at least they want to be sure they escape this one and see what will happen next. Thank God for believers who know what will happen to them when they die. Also, gradual loss of sight. He says in verses 3 and 4, why the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, and those that look out of the windows, that is in verse 2, be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. The eye will begin to lose its power gradually, 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 gradually. If one lives very long, it may get to a time that the eyes will not be able to see again. Praise the Lord. Jesus thought about Peter. He said, now you can dress up and go to anywhere you like. He said, a day is coming that somebody will dress you and take you to where you don't even like. Why would they take that to where they don't like? They won't know. And in case you don't know, some mothers are living in Lagos. They think they are still in, they think they are in another place. Because they don't have anything to do with the street. They are in the house. The day they are bringing them, they never told them they are going to Lagos. Because they know mama would not like to go to Lagos. But they are so old that they don't know what is happening around them. Hallelujah. Then in the case of the general weakness of the body, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. You may get to a time that one will have to use walking stick when the legs will not be able to carry the weight of the body any longer. Then the gradual loss of teeth is also highlighted, and inability to chew things. He says, the grinders cease because they are few. The teeth will begin to be lost one by one. Actually, all children replace their teeth. When a child is born, it will start by growing teeth. Then at a stage in the childhood, the teeth will begin to remove one by one. New ones will grow. But immediately you become an adult, you make sure none of your teeth is gone. If you break one, you buy unbreakable teeth to replace it. Otherwise, you go without teeth. And that is how they become fewer and fewer and fewer. And since it is the teeth we use to grind coin, meat, and some other things, when they become few, they may not be able to grind like before. Inability to sleep well is another problem that has to do with aging. It says, he shall rise up at the voice of the bed. Aged people, when something make click, click. In here. What is happening? Look at a small child. He's sleeping and snoring when grandma is awake. It's part of the problem associated with aging. I'm sure you know that there are still many more. I just like to stop here since I know that those ones are enough to make one see that man died spiritually and began to die physically the same day he ate the forbidden fruit. Look at the conclusion of the story in verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Bible has so many things to say about the spiritual death. In Genesis 2:17, Proverbs 8:36, 21:16, Ezekiel 18:20, Luke 1:76, John 5:24-26, 6:50, 51:53, 11:26, Romans 5:12 and 15, 6:23, 7:11, 8:5, 6:12-13, 2 Corinthians 5:14, Ephesians 2:1-5:6, 4:18, 5:14, Colossians 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, 1 Peter 2:24, James 1:15, James 5:20, and 1 John 5:12. If you read these scriptures, you will see what it says about the spiritual death. Time may not permit us to read them here. Now we are looking at, because spiritual death is not our focus anyway, we are just looking at the types of death that the Bible talks about. The next one is death to sin. Everybody say death to sin. Just as the eternal death will be specially sinner's death, we'll soon get to that. Death to sin is especially the believer's death. This is the point the following scriptures are drawing attention to. I want to explain. We are looking at four types of death. Spiritual death, death to sin, physical death, and eternal death. Now, spiritual death and physical death are the lot of all men. Every man is already part of spiritual death. We all die in Adam. Most of us will be part of physical death. The only, since the world is created, as far as the record of the Bible is concerned, only two people have escaped physical death. Enoch and Elijah. And what we have in the book of Revelation suggests that they are still coming back to die. What is given to man wants to die. It means then that majority of men in the world will be part of physical death. The ones that will not be part of the physical death are believers that will be part of the rapture of the saints and the unbelievers that will be judged during the judgment of the living nations and will be sent to hell. Apart from that, every other man will be part of physical death. So physical death is for all, so to say. Spiritual death has been the lot of all. But death to sin is especially believers' death. Unbelievers don't have part in it. And eternal death is also specially death of the unbelievers. No believer will have part in it. Are you getting it, everybody? Now look at the spiritual death. Death to sin. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 3, the Bible says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Ye are what? You are slow to respond. Ye are what? Dead. How many dead people are here? In this sense. How many dead people are in this house? Somebody is doing like this all of us. That's a lie. It's not everybody in the church. Is it everybody in the church that is a Christian? Everybody is born again. No. Only those who are born again, who are children of God, have part in spiritual death. And they are the people Colossians chapter 3 verse 3 is talking about when he says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, he says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." You will soon understand why those people in the churches that confess sins every Sunday are not believers. Because they are not dead to sin. You can't be dead and alive to sin at the same time. Romans chapter 6 verse 2 says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" If you are still living in sin, it simply means you are not dead to sin. And that means you are not a child of God. You are not born again. I read the following from Adam Clark's commentary. "How shall we that are dead to sin?" The phraseology of this verse is common among Hebrews. You need to. This statement will help you to understand what we are talking about. The phraseology of this verse is common among Hebrews, Greeks, and Latins. To die to a thing or person is to have nothing to do with it or him. To be totally separated from them. And to live to a thing or person is to be wholly given up to them, to have the most intimate connection with them. "I have nothing to do with thee. I am dead to thee." End of quote. You know the meaning? A man can be dead to another man. According to the Greek and the Latins and the Hebrews, a man can be dead to a thing. It simply means there's no more connection between them, no more relationship between them, no more bearing between them. They are totally separated from one another. So in the same way, believers are said to be to sin. So the Bible makes it clear that when a person gives his life to Jesus, he will no longer sin. I'm still wondering. People who read their Bible and are still thinking that we can be sinning and just be confessing and think all will be alright. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." This does not mean he doesn't have power to sin, but he will not sin. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is not the size of the Bible. It's not the type of church. It's not the number of things one does for God. It's not the amount of money one contributes. It's not how often one goes to church. It's not the religiosity that anybody carries about. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is S-I-N. Hallelujah. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is what, everybody? Eh? When father is no longer sinning, but his wife is still sinning, the father is maybe a believer, but the wife is not. When parents are no longer sinning, but the children are still sinning, the parents may be believers, the children are not. When grandma is staying with his children and she's still sinning, and the children she's staying with are no longer sinning, grandma is not a believer, the children are believers. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not the name of church you attend. It's not the type of pastor who pastors you. It is what happens between you and sin. Sin is the issue. Everybody say it.
Sin is the issue.
Say it again.
Sin is the issue.
Say it again.
Sin is the issue.
And that is why all these churches you see around today, that their focus is miracle, blessing. Wishes and wizard. That is all they talk about. So that nobody will accuse them of not preaching the Bible, they see, say something else. Don't sin. But even the congregation knows that they don't really mean that. They know that even themselves are not endeavoring not to sin. They are not laying emphasis on the problem of sin, the consequences of sin, and the rest of them. But they lay emphasis on others. They are not churches. They are institutions of the devil put in place to hinder the work of the true churches of God. I repeat, all those people you see that are making noise, gathering a lot of people, but are not laying strong emphasis on the issue of sin. It's not that they don't do like us, we're better than them. That's not the issue. They are not churches of God. They are institutions of the devil put in place to hinder the work of the true churches of Jesus. Because anybody they make deacon, if you do crusades, such people will not come to your crusade. Anybody they ordain elder, if you do revival, such people will not come. Because they feel they are already a title holder in churches. They see themselves to be too big. And some of them are still having concubines. Some of them are still drinking alcohol. Some of them are still quarreling badly. They are devil. When if I some of them go, you are a devil. Then on Sunday, praise the Lord. It's so beautiful in the house of the Lord today. Let somebody shout hallelujah. It does not be the Lord of Bible Pattern Church. Today or any day. In Jesus' name. And if anybody tries to make that the Lord of Bible Pattern Church, may God expose him and remove him. Here or anywhere. Hallelujah. The deliverance of believer from the power of sin will make him to be dead to sin and alive only to God. And this is the truth. When you are dead to sin, you are alive to God. When you are alive to sin, you are dead to God. Romans chapter 6, I read from verse 1. Pay serious attention. What shall we say then? Is the same person that says, where sin abound, grace abound more. These are part of the things people use to console themselves. Look at it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, the people, the original receivers, recipients of this scripture, the first people to receive it, they will understand what he's saying better than us because of the fact that it is their language. He says, and I told you that it's common among the Hebrews and the Jew and the Greek and the Latins, according to Adam Clark's commentary. The phrase dead to this is common with them. So you can tell a person, I'm dead to you. The meaning is that me and you, we have nothing. A woman can say it to her husband when she's divorcing. An husband can say it to his wife when he's separating from her. Somebody can say it to his boss when he's leaving the job. And so on and so forth. It means no bearing, no relationship, no connection, nothing brings us together. That's the meaning. So they know it. Now, so when he said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Is what? Is no longer sinning. If you say before some Christians, they say, is it possible? You mind your pastor, there is a lie. There is nobody that is not sinning. Shall the Bible say, if God is to man, who can stand? They have quotation, they have Bible passages they use to support them. Let me tell you, if you want to go to hell, you will get passages of the Bible you can use to support yourself. If you want to do evil, you will surely get passages you can twist to support yourself. You want to be a thief, you want to be a murderer. There is nothing you want to be that you cannot twist the scripture to support yourself. But this is the Bible again. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There are some people who preach that the Bible says we should reckon that we are dead. It doesn't mean we are dead to sin. We should just agree we are dead to sin. Even when we are sinning, we should just tell ourselves, I'm dead to sin. But the Bible says you shouldn't obey it. Because there's a way they twist it. All this preacher of abnormal grace, preacher of eternal security, including those who claim they are not preaching eternal security, but they are preaching it indirectly. There is a way they emphasize it that the Bible says you should reckon that you are dead. It's not that you are dead to sin, but you should just tell yourself, I am dead to sin. I read it to you again. This is the Bible. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. Let me start from verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It doesn't mean temptation will not come. What is called temptation? Suggestion to sin. That's what is called temptation. It may be faba. It may not be faba. Somebody may suggest to you to sin without talking with the word of his mouth. You are traveling in a vehicle. A woman sitting by your side is using the delicate part of her body to touch you deliberately. Not that he's sleeping and slumbering. Not that the vehicle entered into a pothole and the vehicle galloped. But the way he's doing it, you know that this woman is deliberately using her breast to rob my soldier. What is she saying to you? She's not talking with her mouth, but she's using her action to tell you to do something. That's what is called temptation. Including the one that will say it. The wife of Potiphar said to Joseph, lie with me. In the book of Revelation, I love the way it is put in Yoruba. Only if you are that you suffer. And she explained, I have already prepared my bed. And the good man has traveled. You can be sure he will not come. We will finish before he will return. He will come at the end of the month. No, he took enough money with him. Anything that can be of concern to the man, he said, all of them are taken care of. And I've perfumed my bed. In fact, we'll have fullness of joy, fullness of love. Oh, temptation. The Bible said the man was so touched that he followed him as a dumb animal. But before you knew it, that guy went through his liver. That guy cannot go through anybody's liver and he will see their life. He was dead not only spiritually but also physically in that house of concubinage. John Wesley notes on the Old and the New Testament says in Romans 6:2 that to be dead to sin is to be freed both from the guilt and from the power of it. You know the meaning. The sin we committed in the past, which we have repented of, which we have confessed to God, which we have made necessary restitution about, the devil does not have the right to use it to disturb us any longer. We are free from the guilt of it. Hallelujah, it is done. I believe on the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified Lamb. Hallelujah, it is done. I believe on the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified Lamb. There is this song. I don't know the English. Lekan oju mi ti fo sogo Oluwa. Lekan eti mi di sohun oro re. Lekan ri mo te ade egun mo li ori. Ṣùgbọ́n ti dárí jí mi bẹ́ẹ̀ ni kò sí nǹkan mọ́. Kò sí nǹkan mọ́ bẹ́ẹ̀ ni kò sí nǹkan mọ́. Ó ti gbọ́ àdúrà mi kò tún sí nǹkan. Kò sí nǹkan mọ́ bẹ́ẹ̀ ni kò sí nǹkan mọ́. Ó ti gbọ́ gbogbo ẹbẹ̀ mi kò tún sí nǹkan. That we are dead to sin means that we are no longer under the guilt of sin. And at the same time, we are no longer under the power of sin. Sin cannot rule our lives any longer. Some people will tell you, I don't want to do it. I'm doing it. It's because you are not born again. It's because you are not born again. And to keep you in that bondage, the devil will tell you, everybody is like that. Everybody is not like that too. Mm-mm. When any pastor tells you that everybody is sinning, Pastor said, I have confessed my sin. I have forsaken them. And I'm no longer doing them. Then if I have sinned in your presence in the last 1 year, come out and say it. What that sin is. If you that we meet in the church once or thrice a week, you can't have the sin to you can't have the sin to point to. My wife will live in the house almost round the clock, cannot remember the last day I committed sin. the time I committed sin in her presence in the last 5 years, 10 years. She can't. Go and meet my wife. I say, your husband said, though you don't separate, you don't live separately, you don't even often travel away from one another, you cannot remember the time he sinned in your presence in the last 10 years. Let alone confessing our sin in our presence. That's how it's supposed to be with us. We are dead to sin. Temptation will come. You say no to it. The power to say no and stand by your decision has been given to you the day you are born again, if you are truly born again. Praise the Lord. So, to be saved is to be free from sin. That's what it means to be born again. People's New Testament commentary says that the Christian life begins with a death to sin. Did you understand that? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The revision says, who died to sin? That is correct. The Greek verb, apotnesko, is a past tense. It's in the past tense. A fact is referred to that occurred in the past. Death is a separation. When we severed our relationship with sin, we died to it. If we have cut loose from it, how can we continue in it? Every believer in Christ is expected to always see himself as a dead man when it comes to the matter of sinning. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It is this death to sin that always made believers to be different from the people around them. Just as a dead body will remain in its grave and will not be coming, even if it is once in a while, to interfere with anything going on in the world, a believer in Christ is expected to have nothing to do at all with sin. Those who are always sinning and using confession of sin to suit their consciences are not believers in Christ. They are religious unbelievers and children of Satan. However religious a sinner is a sinner. Tell your neighbor. And therefore a child of the devil. Come on. 1 John chapter 3 verses 8 to 10. I read it. Pay serious attention. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Don't let all these television preachers deceive you. It's a good thing to preach on the TV. But don't let them deceive you. There is a way they package their thing and present it as if, even if you are sinning, Jesus has paid for our sin, past, present, future. Yes, I agree, Jesus paid for our sin, past, present, future. But verse 9 of 1 John chapter 3 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The heaviest part of it is verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. To believe that Jesus is the Lord and proclaim it is not enough. To ask Jesus, I accept you are the Lord of my life, is not enough. Jesus said, it is when you do what I command you that you are my disciple indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The people he spoke to in that John chapter 8, the Bible says he said it to the Jews that believe in him. Majority of the Jews did not believe in him. The few that believed in him, he said, come. It is only when you do what I command you that you are my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they say, truth will lose up for more. Which truth are we knowing? We don't need to be set free. We are not slaves to anybody. Abraham is our father. The Jew that believe in Jesus said, actually, too, you are the devil, your father. The Jew that believe in him, Jesus told them, you are the devil, your father. So somebody can claim to be a follower of Jesus, and Jesus may know him to be of the devil. You know the truth? He that committed sin is of the devil. Say it.
He that committed sin is of the devil.
To be a religious sinner may make you feel good, but it doesn't change your status before God, your position before the devil. You are who you have been. You may reduce the number of sins you commit. That doesn't solve any problem. You are no longer smoking, you are still fornicating. You are no longer fornicating, you are still drinking alcohol. You are no longer drinking alcohol, you are still fighting. In case you don't know, it's not in the plan of the devil that all men will be committing the same amount of sin. The plan of the devil is that each man will have enough sin to damn his soul. Finish. And that is why you must forsake sin in totality. And the forsaking of sin, the word of God is likening it to dying. The person that died in your street last month, has he come back to attend landlord meeting again? Eh? I said, I no go stay, you know I'm dead, I no go stay longer, I will stay 5 minutes and go. Yeah? The one who died in your village 50 years ago, has he come to pay physics for 3 minutes? When a person is dead, is totally separated from the world. When you are dead to sin, you are totally separated from anything and everything sinful. That's the Christianity of the Bible. In case you don't know. If you mistakenly fall into sin, the blood of Jesus takes care of it. Mistake. You can mistakenly taste alcohol. You can't mistakenly drink a cup of beer. I mistakenly tasted alcohol. I was working with a white man. Then, when I nearly gave my life to Jesus. And one morning, I was in his house. His children, he had planned for me. No, my Christianity from day one was Christianity. They drink beer, they did things, but they knew I would not even touch the cup. I won't touch the bottle, the carton, pile the carton beer. I won't touch like this. I won't touch the bottle. They knew. But that day, the children of my God, they planned for me. And they would drink hot drink today. As I came in the morning, they welcome. Small children. In my presence, I saw them pouring coke into a cup. And they gave me to drink. And I didn't want to drink anything. I really didn't want to drink. I didn't want to drink normally. If I had wanted to drink, Martin Mugaka, I didn't want to drink. But they pressurized me, please now, drink now. Just to satisfy them, I took the cup. I didn't want to drink. I just put it to my mouth to give it back to them. My tongue touched the so-called coke. And it caught my tongue. Phew! By the time I'm putting it in my mouth, they were laughing so somersaulting. Meanwhile, I didn't drink it. But at least I tasted alcohol. I stopped anything alcohol in 1973, where I was still a non-believer. I tasted it, maybe that should be 76 or 77. Tasted. You say, what did you do about it? I didn't confess the sin. I didn't pray for forgiveness. You say, why? I didn't sin. Please. So what do you mean? I never planned to drink alcohol, and I did not drink alcohol. In fact, I'm looking at how to say it so that I will not make you to hear what I do not say. All of us drink alcohol. All. You say when? Till now. You say how? Some of the food we eat, it is alcohol they use to preserve it. There are drugs you use that contain some, that even contain cocaine. Cocaine in the drug. But the amount that is meat is so small that your body cannot even feel it and you won't know it. That one is not amount to sin and you won't go to hell for that. Praise the Lord. But even the one that is real sin, for example, you call 3, 4. That's a lie. It's 3, you call it 4. Is it not a lie? You can do that through forgetfulness. You forgot. And honestly in your heart, you thought it was 3. But ordinarily it's 4. The devil run to heaven and tell them that thing. How many? Not be 3 did it. When did they tell that? How many you say did it? No, before. 3, 4. Is it the same thing? He has lied. He's the accuser of brethren. Jesus is there. He will show the Father the blood. I shed it for them. Whether you know it or not, it's taken care of. But when you mistakenly drink a cup of beer, you will go to hell. Tell your neighbor. I know one drink and I mistake you. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my God. Now, physical death. Physical death is the most popular among the deaths. Actually, this alone is what the world knows to be death. Physical death is the separation of the spirit and soul from the body. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The first man to experience physical death was the righteous Abel. Matthew 23:35. The second son of Adam, who was killed by his wicked brother, Cain. 1 John 3:12. Genesis 4, it says, And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Since the death of Abel, billions of people have died all over the world. Only in the Punch, I wrote today, the day I was writing this thing was Tuesday, November 1, 2005. I wrote this outline. And I wrote today there a report on page 9, credited to World Health Organization, says that tobacco, which contains more than 4,000 chemicals, and over 60% of which is having capacity to induce cancer, being the second major cause of death in the world, will be killing up to 10 million people yearly, unless smokers change their attitudes to smoking. 10 million people, tobacco alone, will be killing every year. World Health Organization predicted. An advert on page 14 of Daily Sun newspaper of Wednesday, June 7, 2006, said of malaria, "An African child dies every 30 seconds. In Africa, every 30 seconds, a child dies. That's the report of free research. I now did my own research, and this is the outcome. This will give us 2 children every minute. Abi, if one child die every 30 seconds, 60 seconds makes a minute, it will be 2 children every minute, 120 every hour, 2,880 each day, 20,160 each week, 86,400 each month, and 1,036,080 each year. African children that will die of malaria each year. Now, if this number die of malaria each year, how many die of other ailments? And these are only children. Youths are still there. Adults are still there. It was this point of physical death I was working on after the Sunday morning service, before the Sunday workers meeting, when my wife came in and said that it had been announced that the wife of the then president of Nigeria, Stella Obasanjo, had died in Varaway, Spain during the surgery. While we were still contemplating whether this could be true or not, another news came that same day that a Bellevue airline flight B3210 going from Lagos to Abuja in Nigeria had crashed and killed all its occupants of 101 passengers and 6 crew members on the same day. Sunday, 16th October 2005, the whole nation began to mourn immediately. These are examples of physical death. Hallelujah. Eternal death. The last death the Bible talks about is the eternal death. This is the mother of all deaths. The phrase eternal death is not found in the Bible. Yet the Bible has a lot to say about it. If you read Proverbs 14:12, Ezekiel 18:4:10, 13:21, 23:24, 33:8, 9 and 11, 14 and 16, Matthew 7:13, Matthew 10:28, Matthew 25:30, 41, 46, Mark 6:43, 44, Romans 1:32, 6:16, 21, 23, 8:13, 9:22, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, James 1:15, James 4:12, 2 Peter 2:12, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 19:20, 20:14, and 21:8. In all these scriptures, the Bible says something about the eternal death. The eternal death is the final separation from life, God, and everything good. It is the ultimate death. In Eden, all men die spiritually through Adam. Since Abel died, men have been dying physically. Today, believers in Christ are dead to sin. Eternal death is still to come. It has to do with being separation from life so as to be thrown into the lake of fire. This death is called the second death. In Revelation 20, from verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their words. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their words. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the eternal death. So I've shown us the four types of deaths that are the prominent among the things the Bible used the word death for. Spiritual death, all men are part of it. Death to sin, that's the death of those who are genuinely born again. Physical death, all men will be part of it, except the few that will take part of the rapture as living people, and those who will be part of the judgment of the living nations. And eternal death is going to be the death of the ungodly, the unbeliever, when they will be thrown into the lake of fire. I pray that will not be your lot in Jesus' name. Do you know that all that we studied last week and even this week are still introductory studies? We are getting prepared for the real study. What we have just tried to do is to understand what death is. Death is separation. Everybody say it. Where you are separated from something. Spirit and soul from the body, physical death. Separation from sin, death to sin. Eternal death, total separation from everything good. You won't be part of that in Jesus' name. Let's stand up to pray.
Help me, Lord God.
Sing it.
I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. In you alone I trust.
Sing it.
Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. Don't let me be out. Come on, sing it now. Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. In you alone I trust. Help me, Lord God. I have no other help. Help me, Lord God. Don't let me be ashamed.
Don't waste your time praying, Father, don't let me die all the time. Because whether you say it or not, one day you will die. Let your prayer be, Father, give me the grace to stay at the center of your will. That whenever I die, whenever I leave this world, I'll be worthy in your presence. Over to you. Talk to God this morning. That if I die, my death will not be a disaster. It won't be a calamity. If I die, it will be precious in your sight. And I'll be counted worthy in your presence.
Help me, dear Lord, don't let me be ashamed.
Give me the grace to stay at the center of your will.
Oh Lord, you know
that I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, yes, Lord, what would I do?
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my own. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land we live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise rain down from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have so many friends in glory over beyond the stars. I don't expect to stop until I shake their hands. They are waiting now for me and heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
In Jesus' name we are prayed. Our righteous Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this word of life. The word has come to us to remind us that one day, all of us will come to you. Death is ultimate. Father, all we are just saying in your presence, our coming to your presence, is that we want to find a place in your bosom. Father, help us, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. There are so many things in the world that are drawing us, trying to pull us. Father, I pray that nothing will be able to succeed in our life so as to prevent us from coming to your bosom in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, this word you are sending to us, they are so priceless. They are not easily come by. Father, oh Lord, I pray that you are going to plant these words in our hearts. Every day of our life, you remind us so that we'll be able to put our hearts to wisdom at all times. Give us that grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. All our journeys in this world, all our labor, what are we going to? If the Bible told us that if it is the head that we have that is the ultimate, we are most wretched and miserable. But Lord, that eternal home, that place that you have prepared for us, give us the grace, give us the power, and help us, O Lord, to be able to get there in the mighty name of Jesus. Let not our labor in your presence be in vain in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask, even Satan, you are hearing me as I'm talking. You are a failure in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare you a failure in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. This word, Lord Jesus, let it be indelible in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to always remind ourselves of the second thing that will happen in our life, that is death. When we are reminded about death, we'll be able to give our heart to wisdom. Give us that knowledge in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. Even as we go from here, Lord Jesus, make us a light to other people. This message we are hearing, it is for sharing. Give us the grace to share with all our other brethren and all people we meet in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. We bless you because you have answered. And this church, Father, may we never deviate from the path of righteousness. Whatever happened to the world, we will not deviate from this path of righteousness in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed.